Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, I'm J.D. Bunkus, Alias 4Far, Blake Murphy. It's Text Line Tuesday. Keep firing them away, 590-590. And yeah, you can hit us up on the DMs as well. You can also hit us on Twitter, at J.D. Bunkus, at Blake Murphy ODC, and at Alias 4Far. So, again, I'm going through it today as a Seahawks fan. It's just bad. I don't know what to make of it. Other than just, I'll tell you this, it's really not a great feeling going from being a good football team to one of the worst football teams and seeing your star quarterback go from being someone who was expected to potentially win an MVP this season to being a guy who, like, can't even get a completion to one of the league's most athletic receivers.
Wow.
To help me through it, an insider. This insider is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. It's Trey Wingo, host of Half Forgotten History and the chief trends officer for Caesars Sportsbook. So who's the favorite to have Russell Wilson next year? Like, where are we setting that line?
I got nothing that's going to make you feel better.
No,
sorry, okay, great. Terrible.
Thanks. See you.
I mean, I just don't get it. Like, it make you feel better going into that game, the two games previous. But since he came back from the injury, he completed 51% of his throws.
Yeah.
For statistical purposes, that was way before he carried the one. Dead last of any quarterback who had at least 50 attempts over the last 2 weeks.
See.
I don't know what's going on, man. It's brutal.
Yeah. So I think it's partially that he's working his way back from the hand injury. Maybe a little bit that he's lost a touch of athleticism because you don't notice the scrambling as much or the escapability as much as you used to. But I wonder how much of this is just like, football is a team sport where everybody has to have just buy-in. And I got to wonder, if you have a quarterback who might have one foot out the door, if other guys can buy in or if the organization can buy it. Like, this feels like a little bit of that to me, or at least it felt that way last night when, you know, he's not even looking DK Metcalf's way. He's not even trying to get his star receiver involved in a football game that was tight.
Well, I mean, look, it's always... And I don't want to downplay anything you just said, but I don't think he wasn't looking for him. I mean, like, there were a couple of times I think he tried to force it to him, and there were guys that were wide open underneath. So they're just a mess right now. But there is something, I believe, to the bigger picture you're talking about, is that routinely the best organizations in football move on a year early rather than a year late. And it just feels all the way across the board that this is a divorce that's going to be a year too late between Seattle and Russell Wilson. Because what you said earlier in the preamble before I was introduced to the program that I was happy to listen to was that, you know, we thought he might be an MVP candidate this year. And that's 100% correct. He's that kind of player. And he has been that kind of player his entire career. He is not that player this year. But it tells you where they are as an organization, that they were thinking about moving on from him when he was that player, and he was kind of okay with it when he was that player. This is a divorce that's a year too late as opposed to a year too early, which is what a lot of the really, really solid franchises tend to do in the NFL.
You mentioned MVP race, and it's been a interesting year, to say the least, about MVP odds. Have you ever seen, you know, something go down like this in terms of MVP races? And it seems like Tom Brady's still at the top of the list.
Yeah, that's 100% right. I keep hearing people like, oh, who's the MVP? I'm like, okay, well, there's a 44-year-old quarterback who is averaging the most passing yards per game in the NFL, and I believe he still has the most passing touchdowns in the NFL. It doesn't seem that difficult to me. I just think people are tired of talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Is it Josh Allen? Is it going to be Mahomes? What about Lamar, who's had five terrible games in a row, by the way? You know, and so it's like, okay, well, we can think about that with Jonathan Taylor. Yes, he's having a very good season, but is he having a good season as a running back compared to Derrick Henry a year ago when he didn't win the MVP? So, you know, we can do all this sort of fancy what about this and what about that, but at the end of the day, you got a freaking old guy leading the league in everything in the most important position. I mean, it's hard for me to come around to anybody but him at this point. Again, we still have seven games to play, or six, you know, seven games to play for most teams. So, you know, we're a long way from this being decided. It's funny. Normally, when you get to December, it's like, oh, okay, we're here. Like, we have a lot of the season left at this point. So things could change once again dramatically as they had all year. But right now, tell me why it isn't Tom Brady would be my question.
Yeah, it's weird. I think it's because the parity and the up and down nature of the season where there hasn't really been dominant teams, or we've thought something about one team and then been like, whoops, Like, my friend texted me after that, because we were betting about the Broncos and the Chargers, and I was making the case for the Chargers, and he's like, you know, if the Broncos win this game, they'll have the same record as the Chargers. I was like, that can't be true.
Yeah.
I was like, that absolutely cannot be true. And it is. But yeah, this extra week has weirdly felt like it's like four extra weeks this season. Like the NFL is like 2 months longer, and it's not the case. But so I think you're right with Tom Brady. And I think that everything you pointed out is exactly what we're going to start to barrel towards over the next couple of weeks. To me, it feels like if he can do like two monster Tom Brady, four touchdown weeks, that he's going to end up locking this thing up by default. But I think that's why the MVP race feels a little weird for me. Usually it's like, if Tom Brady's going to win an MVP, I'm like, oh man, Tom Brady's having one hell of a season. And I'm like, he just lost to Washington. And he's had a game where, you know, Leonard Fournette had all the touchdowns. And I know he was good and he led the game tying or the game winning drive. But I haven't felt like there's been this dominant player this year where I'm going, wow, this is a real coming out party. It's like, okay, let's give it to the old guy. Except this is who I would like to point to. Why are we not at all just like talking about Aaron Rodgers more? Because to me, it feels like maybe because of the anti-vax stuff and the, I was, what was his use? He was, because, oh man, Joe Buck.
Thinker.
Yeah, but
critical thinker?
Joe Buck killed him on the broadcast where he said that.
Toe immunized.
Yes. Oh, that was so funny. Yeah, the immunized. He's immunized. That maybe he's not getting enough of a discussion because of that 1 week, because of the offseason. And if I'm looking at it and I'm saying who's the scariest team right now and who's the scariest quarterback, I think that there's a strong case to be made that it's the Packers and it's him.
Listen, a couple things there. By the way, I like my line about him when he got by Jalen Ramsey. I said he slipped by Ramsey like there. He was COVID protocol. Yeah. So that was really nice move by him. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll see myself out. Yeah. But here's the thing with him. I don't think it's that. I think that, you know, we're coming off a season where he threw 45 touchdowns and had, what, seven or eight interceptions a year ago when he won the MVP. So I think statistically he's not having the same year he had a year ago. And I think a lot of people are looking at the Packers and saying, wow, this team, they win with defense as much as they win with offense. And that has not been the case. That was not the case last year. Their defense really was not very good last year. So, yes, absolutely Aaron Rodgers should be in the discussion. And you absolutely could make the claim that they might be that really, really good team that everybody's talking about. They've never had back-to-back losses under Matt LaFleur, which is a remarkable thing. In 3 years, they've never lost two games in a row. So there's a lot to like about Aaron Rodgers potentially in that situation, and obviously the Green Bay Packers. But I do feel like, to your point about Brady, yeah, he's doing well, but he's not putting up the monster numbers. I kind of feel the same way about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't think he's putting up monster numbers, but he's playing really well for a really good football team. So it's really sort of six and one, half dozen of the other.
We're talking to Trey Wingo, host of the Half Forgotten History podcast and chief trends officer at Caesar Sportsbook. We're talking MVP odds, and Aaron Rodgers at plus 600 right now. You look, and Tom Brady is still at the top with those 8-3 bucks at plus 260. You look across to the AFC East, though, and the Patriots are 8-4 as well. And at the top of the Coach of the Year odds is Bill Belichick at plus 333. We can't rig the Super Bowl to be Belichick against Brady, but can we rig the Super Bowl to be Belichick versus Brady? How fun is that possibility for you of a Brady MVP, Belichick Coach of the Year, and then, you know, headed toward a potential playoff battle?
Hold on a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could happen, but I'm like, can we get anything else? Like for me, it'd be like, all right, I get that sort of, you know, would be fun for a lot of people, but, oh my, listen, I'll tell you this. The Patriots are really good. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really good, okay? You know, and everyone was on them when they were struggling in September. My line is I never judge a Bill Belichick team in September or October. I judge them in December and January, and here they are, six straight wins in a row, 8-4, have the potential to have that number one seed if the Ravens continue to struggle and stumble a little bit. And Mac Jones is by far the best rookie quarterback playing this year because he understands his assignment. And his assignment under Bill Belichick is, here's what I want you to do. More importantly, here's what I don't want you to do. Don't do these things. We'll take care of it. And he understands that perfectly. He makes the plays they want him to make. And the most important thing about Mac is he does not make the big mistakes. And for a rookie, that's really, really hard. And he's been very patient and very understanding of what they want him to do. And, you know, it's interesting because they have such a good defense and they have such a good running game. And all they need is for Mac to make a couple of plays and not go crazy. And where quarterbacks go matters immensely to me. Like, look, Patrick Mahomes is going to be Patrick Mahomes, but the fact that he went to Andy Reid, who outside of Bruce Arians is probably the quarterback whisperer in the NFL, every quarterback he's ever had has had his best years under Andy Reid, no matter who it was. What Mac is doing with not only Bill, but also Josh McDaniels, who probably will never have an opportunity to be a head coach after the way he spurned the Colts and what happened with him in Denver. But that doesn't mean he's not a really, really good offensive mind in the NFL. And the way he sort of schooled Mac Jones up this season has been such an incredible thing on his resume.
I want to dig into the Patriots a bit more since I'm a Bills fan. Since I'm a Bills fan and I'm getting a little nervous about the next couple of weeks.
You should.
100%. I'm biting my fingernails over here. What's been the most impressive thing for you? I know you talked about Mac Jones and defense, but the Patriots have won six in a row, but they've all been won in a variety of different ways. So what's been the most dominant thing in your perspective on how they're doing this?
Well, you mentioned it, the defense. If you look at their numbers across the board, they're top five in every possible statistical category that matters. So that's the first thing. But the other thing you just said is really important to a Bill Belichick team. You just said, and you nailed it, by the way, that they can win a lot of different ways. The Bill's favorite thing is to tell his team, guys, we can win a lot of different ways, and that makes us very difficult to defend and to be coached up against. Teddy Bruschi used to tell me that all the time. He wants to find a million different ways to win. So it's not like, okay, here's what we're going to do. If you take this away, we have problems. Well, if you're going to take that away, we'll do this. And if you try to take this away, we'll do this. He is the biggest believer in versatility. You know, you hear so many players and coaches say, well, we're going to do what we do. And that's who we are, which is cool. Except if it's not working, don't do that thing. Find another way to win. And Bill is better at that than anybody I've ever seen or been around in the NFL. And I think that's the most interesting thing about this team. They can beat you with their defense. They can beat you with that running game. And on occasion, when they've needed to put up some aerial numbers, Mac Jones has been able to deliver that at the right spot as well. And a couple of signings that they've made in the offseason that people laughed at, okay? Jonnu Smith. Why are you taking Jonnu Smith away? Why are you giving him that much money? Well, this is why. I mean, what they've done with him and Hunter Henry is trying to replicate a little bit of what they had with Gronk and the other tight end, who shall not be named, and how effective they were in punishing people in the middle of the field. And the other signing that they picked up, and I said this in the offseason, you take Matt Judon away from Baltimore and put him in New England, he might be the most underappreciated signing of the entire offseason. And he has been spectacular for them as an edge presence, not only getting after the quarterback, but setting the edge in the run defense. He has been absolutely amazing. And he's put up career numbers in his first year there. And I think that's going to continue as long as he's a Patriot.
So let's look on the other side of that matchup. The next four games, the Bills have the Patriots twice and the Bucs and then the Panthers. So what's your confidence level for the Bills going into these games? And maybe what do they have to do to come out on a winning note?
Well, you know, the Bills are much like every team in the NFL. When they're good. And when they're bad, they're terrible, right? I mean, you know, you see some of their losses and you're like, how do you lose to Jacksonville? And, you know, how do you lose to some of these other? And then you see them just go destroy teams like they did, against the Saints. Mm-hmm. But that home loss they had a couple of weeks ago, how did that happen? How do you let that? Like, they're like every other team. And, you know, it wasn't, 4 weeks ago, we were like, Josh Allen, MVP. And then we've had a couple of stumbles. And they're very capable, but they have to believe that they're as good as they think they are. I know that sounds stupid, but, you know, like as a Bills fan, you just said it. Hey, we had last year and it was great, but dang, the Patriots are good again. And here we are with this. And we're gonna, you know, at some point you have to go Stuart Smalley from Saturday Night Live. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. And I think the Bills need to not have their confidence rattled in any way, shape, or form. You just say, hey, look, we're freaking good. We're the defending champions. Our defense has had a couple of bad games, but for the most part, we played really, really well. Screw this bleep and let's just go play and beat their bleep.
I love it.
A lot of bleeps there for 8 o'clock in our Canadian morning.
You got me wanting to run through a brick wall or maybe jump through
there
a table.
Go.
So I appreciate that. Trey Wingo.
Don't spray yourself with ketchup and mustard.
No, I mean, you never know what happens when you're there at the the pregame. But Trey Wingo, host of the Half Forgotten History podcast and chief trends officer of Caesars Sportsbook. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You got it, guys. Take care.
See you, man.
That Insider was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Ailish, how are you going to feel if
great
Belichick puts
awful
Josh Allen
through a table?
No, yeah. Like, because if Josh Allen, this is my fear if I'm a Bills fan coming up to that Patriots game, is Josh Allen looks like the Josh Allen from a couple years ago and against Belichick's defense. And Judon's back there and he's hitting him, and he won't look that bad because he's Josh Allen. He's good. But he's, I don't know. If Belichick gets the best of him in this game.
No. I think, so they play a home and away.
Uh-huh.
I feel really confident about them at home. They need to demolish or even just squeak by. Just they need a win that time.
Like, you went from demolish.
I went from demolish to squeak by. Like any way to get a win, we're good with. But I don't know about down in New England. I don't like the look of that. I don't like the feel of it. It's later in the year. It's probably going to be a blizzard. I'm already anxious about that one. But things are looking up for the Bills. They won the other day. They're riding a little bit of a high. They smoked the Saints. Woo, the lowly Saints.
Yeah, you beat Trevor Siemian and who is the running back, Blake?
Troy Jones.
Yeah.
But sometimes
Tony
you just
Jones.
Tony Jones. But if you look at their last four games, it's like up, down. Like people talk about the Leafs being a roller coaster. Hello. Let me introduce you to the Buffalo Bills. So yeah, it's going to be a tough 4 weeks, but I
throw Panthers in there. You were like, the Panthers, and Cam Newton is 10 yards and 5 interceptions.
Well, I was just saying, out of their next four weeks, it's Patriots, Bucks, then Panthers, then Patriots again.
Yeah, the Panthers are an interesting one, not for this year, but like now that McCaffrey's done for the year and they're trying the Cam Newton thing, like where the heck is that franchise going?
McCaffrey's been done for the year for 3 years. So yeah, like no surprises there.
Chuba time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way. Make sure you hit your fantasy waiver wires today, right? Today's waiver wire day.
It sure is waiver wire
there
day.
You go. There's
and
a little
we
reminder.
Are we're only a couple weeks out from the playoffs, so the fantasy playoffs rather.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming most people with the extra week this year went to a 14-week regular season.
Yeah, we did.
That's what we did
do
as well.
Do you play fantasy football, Ailish?
I do. But I did not get invited to any leagues this year because I was
unemployed. That was so sad. She was I do play. But
I know.
I'm not playing.
Usually it has to do with like where you're working. Like
so
you do a work
she
thing.
She just has her own.
Yeah. I just play against myself.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Sadly, I'm not in one this year. So thanks to everyone for reaching out.
Well, that's on somebody.
But my previous place of employment, I was the NHL and NFL fantasy league champion.
Very nice.
In the same year. So I'm riding a high, just waiting for someone to invite me to their league. So maybe next year.
Yeah. Listen, we'll absolutely, don't worry. We'll include you next year.
Oh,
we'll
make sure you're great.
In. We'll all have one together.
Okay.
Except for here's the thing that I worry is that, well, first of all, I'm never playing fantasy hockey or fantasy baseball or fantasy basketball because they're just so labor. And like it's every day. Come on.
It's
no.
It's a lot.
It's
yeah.
too much. It's too much. It's too much. It's too much.
Fantasy baseball rules.
Oh my God, it's the
worst.
Football
is obviously the best one, but.
Yeah.
I cannot, even some of the, Ennis calls himself a seam head. Even he.
Ew.
I know. It's so cringy. That's why I brought it up. Yeah. I actually want to have Ennis on during this like Blue Jays week. So maybe you can rip him for calling himself that. Even the big seam heads, like the idea of paying attention to a fantasy baseball league every day and setting the starting lineups every day and looking ahead. And I've heard all the story, blah, 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 blah. I did it 1 year when I was in college sports or in a sports media college. And yuck, it's just too much. But fantasy football is just the perfect one. You have to look a couple times a week. You end up playing somebody head to head. It's just perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. But this feels like kind of a sneaky big waiver wire week where like, yeah, we're in the home stretch here.
Do you guys get the upper hand because we're up at like 5 a.m?
Blake does. I don't because I'm just more of a sleep deprived zombie who forgets to do things.
Well, not, and also like, it doesn't matter when you put in your waiver claim. Where I get it is I can kind of feel out, should I use a waiver priority or should I trust that I'm up at 4:30 in the morning? and anyone who doesn't get claimed on waivers, I can keep my waiver priority and swoop in. So it's
Vic's nodding his head like he's the little vulture.
It's a tough one. So I like he's this week, for example, like Chuba would be the ad, right? Yeah. Like, but I play in a deep league, so he's already on my bench. But he's a guy you jump the waiver line for, use, you know, at this point in the season, like a good chunk of your free agent budget. If you play a free agent budget league,
you better, because if you don't, you're a loser.
Exactly.
Yeah. I got to admit that for fantasy football this year, I'm the commissioner of my like university league.
Of course
you are. I know, but I've been running it since I was in university. Like we used to do the Bristol board and I've always loved it and it connects me to some university friends and it's great and I love it. And I really do. But for whatever reason, I think it was just like not having live drafts as much with I don't know what it is. Maybe it's this new show, although that's not an excuse because this started after fantasy. Well, I don't know what it is, but I just haven't been. I forgot to put in my defense 1 week. Like I've been that guy this year. So I
figure
just
figure it out. Bud.
I know. I feel bad. Okay. Quick thoughts on the MVP race. Cause Blake, you mentioned those numbers. What are they again? Reset them.
Which?
The MVP odds.
They were in the dock and they've disappeared.
Oh, that's okay. Brady was +240.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is +600.
Is he number two?
No, he's number three. Sorry. Josh Allen is +500.
Come on, baby.
You want to burn money?
So you're put saying it on. There's
How
a
is
chance.
Josh Allen there? Like, what?
Because I told you they got a couple of big games coming up. You never know. He might just slay all the dragons.
You know what? I guess if you believe that Josh Allen is going to light up the Patriots twice, then you bet that.
And the Bucks.
But who believes that?
But I do.
Even then,
deep in my soul.
No, he could shred the Bucks. The Bucks' pass defense is garbage.
But doesn't +500 feel like he's already done that to be at +500?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
That's not enough.
No, that's nuts. He should not be ahead of Aaron Rodgers. This is kind of my whole take on Rodgers. Is like, okay, this is it. So Trey outlined the good case for Tom Brady, and yes, he's leading the stats and he's got passing yards. Hooray! And nobody else has just grabbed the award, and we've tried to do Jonathan Taylor, and I actually sort of thought that this was not a bad Jonathan Taylor week, even though they lost. You know, everyone jumped off the bandwagon. I was like, did anybody not see how, like, he was their entire offense in the second half? He was Frank Reich went over it. He's like, all of our plays were RPOs for this guy, and all of our passes were designed where he was the primary read, and then we ran the ball on a game-tying drive, and it was all with him. And for whatever reason, we went from like, is this guy the MVP to, oh, he's not even in the discussion in a week, which odd.
It's all the external drama around Rodgers.
I know. It's just weird. That's it, though, is that I look at Aaron Rodgers.
I think that's why I have a skewed perspective of him.
But he's the scariest quarterback this year.
He's scary.
I've always been scary. But if you're telling me Tom Brady and the ball in the final drive, I'm still feeling like right now it's Tampa Bay on the final drive. It's Gronk. Like, think about how good Gronk has looked this year. And I know that's in part Brady, but Gronk's the one breaking tackles, not Tom Brady. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, like Leonard Fournette's resurgence, the offensive line, how it's been so good. That's Tampa Bay to me. It's not Tampa Bay right now. It's Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. I love
that. Whereas when I look at the Packers, yes, have they had a good rushing attack? Is Jones good? Is Dillon good? Yes. Is Davante Adams one of the best receivers in the NFL? Absolutely he is. But I'm still thinking when Aaron Rodgers gets the ball at the end of a football game, he's the scariest guy in the NFL this season. He's retaken the belt of the dead last quarterback you want to see on a final drive of a football game. His team is winning games, and I think if it wasn't for the weird hair and the COVID toe, that he would be higher.
He's doing this all with a broken toe.
So maybe this is the way to pivot into some gambling talk and take a break. But I actually think that the only bets that you should be making for MVP right now is I'd put a sprinkle on Brady because his narrative runaway train is just right there. And +300 range is still a good bet. Like that's actually something I can wait on now for a few weeks, you know, put $100 on that. And then I would think about putting some money, like $100 on Aaron Rodgers as well. At +600, you said he is?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I think that Aaron Rodgers is like, this is the time of year where if he can rip off, who do the Packers have the next couple of weeks? They have a divisional games now, right? Like
they
it's
have
is it Bears?
The Bears no. next.
Yeah.
On Sunday, and then they have the Ravens, the Browns, the Vikings, and the Lions.
See, no, but okay. Let me make the case. Bears he owns. Ravens pass defense horrific. Browns, pretty good defense. Mm-hmm. Could have a tough one with that.
Vikings.
They win that game at home after losing the first one, And then you close with a soft Lions team where
you
probably still have to play it because you're fighting for that last, like that number one seed.
Yeah, I was going to say with Arizona at 9-2, that's the team to watch of will Rodgers be padding the stats in week 18?
I just think that the further we get away from COVID toe, the more we're going to talk about how is the actual MVP Rodgers, and it comes down to this Brady Rodgers discussion. Again, Brady's the favorite for a reason. He's in the driver's seat on this award. I said it. If Tom Brady has 2 4 touchdown games the remaining rest of the way, like, and which he's been known to have, he's going to win the award. It's going to get locked up. But I'm just saying this schedule looks pretty friendly to me for Rodgers. They could finish first in the NFC, and we could really be doing the thing if they beat the Vikings in that final week of this, or that second last week of the season, going, you know, Aaron Rodgers had this weird offseason and he stayed, and now he's the reason why Green Bay's win. This is why you listen to the quarterback, blah, 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 and he ends up winning the award. Just saying, I think that's the best value. Agree or disagree? Is there a name on that board that we don't like or that either of you like?
Well, no. You've pretty much sold me on the Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so easily swayed with my terrible bets, though. Ailish, you're the best. You know, you have the friend who laughs at all your jokes.
Yeah.
Ailish is my friend who just gasses up my bets. I love you for that. Like, truly, every time I throw a bet out there, sometimes Blake will hit me with, here's the numbers. He didn't save me last night.
That didn't make much sense, did
it? Ailish just, I say anything, and she's like, I am down.
I'm putting my money on it right now. I'm like, careless gambler.
Yes. I talked a friend off a big Seahawks bet last night. I felt like I did a service there.
Was it JD?
No.
Oh,
you think I'm betting on the Seahawks right now?
Well, if you look at my betting history, it says lost, 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 won, lost, lost, lost. So I'm not really one to trust at this moment. I need some external assistance, please.
That's funny. Okay.
But the win was a good one. So
okay, so let's
evens out.
Let's talk about some of those bad beats. Let's talk about some of the bets that we like moving forward. Let's take a break and let's do that. Also, keep firing away texts.
Oh, yeah. The text line is a bit quiet right now. 590-590.
Also, I'm not replying to any DMs on Instagram if you don't follow. I have to keep reminding people of this. I hate it. When you do that to me. I'm just delete. Goodbye.
Delete, swipe, ignore, block. Love it. See you after the break.
Fan Morning Show, Sports at 590, The Fan.
Hey Leafs fans, we are giving you a chance to win tickets to the Maple Leafs Blue Jackets game on December 7th. Today's code word is Line A. Text Line A to 590-590 for your shot to win.
Show Sports at 590 The Fan. We're debating the color of hot dogs.
Well, Blake is obviously colorblind.
I think that's what we figured out now.
Yeah, I'm not colorblind. I don't do great with colors.
I'm wearing a dark brown sweater. Dark brown.
Yeah.
Chocolate brown, you could even say.
It is chocolate brown.
Ailish is dressed like a hot dog today. That sweater is the color of a hot dog. I'm like, what kind of hot dogs are you
eating? Never go to Blake's house for hot dogs.
It's close to that hot dog.
No.
That's disgusting.
No,
this is like that looks like a charred piece of meat on a grill.
It was like the first thing that came up when I Googled hot dog.
The hot dogs, that's more of a sausage color. I would say a hot dog is more of like a light brown.
You guys are reminding me that the Tim Robinson's other show, Detroiters, which is unfortunately canceled, and you can watch it, and it's available on streaming. So if you're a fan of Tim Robinson and you're a fan of the show, then you'll be a fan of that. But one of my favorite bits in that whole show, I'll get off this right away, is just like how they always eat hot dogs, and they're like, that's the only meal they eat in dresses. They're constantly eating hot dogs. Yeah, and it's also a theme in Tim Robinson's like sketch show.
It's just the most tired I've ever been.
But it's very clear that the man loves a hot dog. Speaking of hot dogs.
He'd love Ailish's outfit then.
It's not a hot dog color.
I couldn't. There's nothing I think of less than hot dogs looking at Ailish's outfit.
It's more
today.
Of like a hamburger color.
Yeah.
Like a patty.
Yeah. She's right to call it chocolate brown.
It's chocolate. Like
it's chocolate brown.
Our take fives that just arrived in the mail are probably this color.
Guys, I need a thumbs up from the back.
Yeah, you guys ate the.
Does it look at all like a hot dog?
No.
If I squirted her with mustard right now, you don't think she'd look like a hot dog?
I love that.
Yeah, that was tough.
I'm starving. Stop talking about food, guys.
All right, more stuff that I got wrong.
Yeah.
Talk about our bets from the weekend and last night. Last week was my first losing, like, negative ROI week of the NBA season, and I rolled that into a bad night last night. JD, you and I both caught a bad beat on the...
That wasn't a bad beat.
Well, I mean, that was a bad beat.
That was just a... That was just a beat. That was just a beat of a beat.
And a beat down. The Rockets just... The Thunder have been cover machines, and they've lost a lot of games of late, but they've still been fairly competitive. And I thought the Rockets, even on the road, was a spot where the Thunder get back in the win column because they've been better.
It yet again shows you how Jalen Green is the MVP of the NBA season. It's on the worst team, and when he goes away, the Rockets get better. Don't go to the G League, kids.
Yeah, well, look, man, if you got to make space for Garrison Matthews get his touches.
I violated one of my gambling codes, and it's because I actually won violating a gambling code on the weekend. I bet the Falcons pretty heavily. It was funny. Like, I live bet it, but it was still even odds. Like, they hadn't gone up yet. It was one of those things where you ever just see the ticker and you just are watching sports and you see something and all of a sudden the game is on and you go, oh my God, why have I not? And the Falcons actually kind of made it pretty sketchy. Like, it was a pretty sketchy game against your Jaguars. Like, it came down to, oh, my God, the Jags actually have a chance in this one after I like wrote it off.
Where the
it was
Jags like, only had a chance if you have never watched the Jaguars before.
Right, but generally, I usually say, if you're betting two bad teams, you get what you ask for here. Usually, I try and bet teams I feel more certain about, and that's why I think I hate this NFL season so much, is because I just have no certainties about any teams, right? Like, I mentioned the thing about the Chargers and the Broncos, how when I was texting with one of my friends and we were doing our afternoon slate and I was like, how do we not take the Chargers on the short line? He's like, you know, if they win, they have the same record. I was like, huh? I just watched the Broncos get their asses beat by the, like, a bunch of crappy teams, including the Eagles, who just lost to the Giants. Like, there's no absurd, I can't make heads or tails of this NFL season. Like, I think I like the Packers. They keep winning me money. And so I'm just going to keep riding the Packers train.
They are 10-2 against the spread.
I know. It's the only thing that's holding my, like, gambling season halfway together. Like, I'm in tattered rags dragging through this NFL season. And the one, like, loincloth I have left is the Packers.
I think I stopped betting on teams because I don't trust them. But I'm doing more, like, overs and unders, which was consistent for me this weekend, except for the one that
You just told us all your losses. It's tough for you to
I did. But I had that big six-way parlay.
Yes.
And 4-for-6 isn't bad, but... Yeah. Still is a loss. You still don't get the money. But I feel
like you should, though.
Yeah, should be like, oh, honestly, you tried your best. Here's like a dollar.
I wish that, although the books would be like, what are you talking about? That's the whole point of what we do. Do you not know what we do here?
I was close on Thanksgiving Thursday. I felt good about it. I had, obviously, Bills and Bears was tight. Mm-hmm. But I had the Cowboys, and they ruined it for me.
Yeah, I know.
And that kind of sucked. But unders hit all of them except for that same Cowboys game, so I'm just trying to erase that from my mind.
Did you guys ever play that pro line where it was the props ticket, but if you bet 10 games, you could get two wrong and still make money?
Oh, or that
if
sounds you bet 12 awesome. Games.
Yeah, what was it?
Something.
Yeah, but you can still do it. I'm just saying I haven't played in a really long time, but was it if you bet 12 games, you could get two wrong, and if you bet 10 games, you could get one wrong? It was something along those lines. Somebody remind me. Yeah, I actually
will text in, I'm sure.
I kind of wish it was like that, just in terms of, hey, don't make me feel like a total ass when I pick 8 games on a parlay and I know it's a stupid bet. I know it's a stupid bet, but just like, give me my money back.
Right. But you can play multiples.
Yeah, I know you can, but it's not.
What do you mean by that?
So you can, if you put an 18 parlay in, say you're doing the whole NBA, say you're doing the whole NBA slate tonight, there's 5 games, and you want to make sure that if you go 4-for-5, you still get something back. Well, you can go to multiples and play, instead of playing the 5-game parlay, you can set it up so it plays all 5 possible 4-game parlays. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you would play.
Yeah. My brain just broke.
Caleb's just made a face.
Think of it this way. You have a Raptors game, a Leafs game, and a Bills game. And
you're paying extra money for margin of error to lose one game.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
So you want to parlay Raptors, Leafs, Bills.
Love it.
But you want to get something back to cover yourself if you only go 2-for-1 or 2-and-1.
Mm-hmm.
So you would do a 3x2-team parlay. So what that would do is you'd have a Raptors, Leafs parlay, a Raptors, Bills parlay, and a Leafs, Bills parlay.
Love it.
And you'd have all those at once. So you pay for that. Right, like you don't get quite as much juice on it,
but you feel better about yourself.
Exactly,
I'm in.
You pay a price.
Show me the link to that after the show.
Yeah, I'll show you how to do it.
It's like,
teach me.
Yeah.
Degenerate.
So I tend to do that with the NBA a fair amount because, like, over the course of 82 games, it's a long season, and there aren't going to be many games that I have high confidence index on anyway, where, like, I mean, like, one unit is probably the most I'm putting on a game. And even last night, like, the Cavs came through big time. But even that to me was only like a half unit game just because of their injuries and stuff. And when we were talking about it, it was before the injury reports came in. So I like to do that, you know, like an eight teamer where you play the six team multiples or something. Tonight's a five game slate. So you could go, you know, you could put five down on each 14 parlay. And it's a $25 bet. And there are a few ways to win.
We got like 15 texts about that question you asked. Point spread. Was that what it's called? Or bingo?
No, it was point spread. It was the point spread at OLG, and not as many people bet that anymore because it used to be like you'd have to go there. It was before apps. So before you could just jump on your Coolbet
like
account.
You'd go to the grocery store and like get one of those pieces of paper.
Yeah, exactly. You'd go and you'd fill it out. I actually kind of missed the ritual of that. I won't lie. I used to still do props tickets with friends, but now I'm getting older and I'm not seeing as many people on Sundays because, God, I'm waking up. Again, I think I've joked about this already, but when people ask me to hang out and it's a school night, I'm like, what is wrong with you? I'm offended by it almost. I'm like, do you not respect what I do? Do not respect my life? This is my lifestyle now, okay? I go to bed early. I get in bed and I watch the games and I go to sleep like an old man. But yes, I do miss the ritual of getting the pencil, having to go to the kiosk and be like, oh, there's no pen. There's no pen. I need a pen. And then like scrambling for the pen. You go and filling it out. Some random stranger coming in. You're taking your time talking about it with your friend. And some random stranger just comes in there and bangs out like eight picks. And you're like, what that guy have? I want to. Like, you're looking
you're
to
like,
see.
You're cheating. Like, yeah, you're in like a math test. Like, oh, so, what's that on over there?
But yeah, there always was the, hey, if you bet this many. But the only thing is it was a sucker's bet because they're like, yeah, bet more because you could get one wrong and then you could win nothing. And
well, that's what it is. They offer you less value and your odds are still very long on hitting 10 out of 12 or whatever.
Oh, of course. And that was my other favorite one is they used to have the one where everyone bet the spreads. And if you were the person that
who
was
the
only
most.
One, you won the prize. And then I've known people who have won that where they were like, oh my God, I won. But you know what happens when you win? Lots of other people won too. And you end up going to cash the prize. And they're like, here's no money. And you thought you were rich. And so, yeah, I think that was actually the worst offering that they've ever had. Either way.
Sorry, I want to take us back. Where we started was you broke another one of your rules last night. What was it?
I bet on the two bad teams, and that's why. Oh. Like, I bet on, Thunder Rockets because I just looked at it and said, this shouldn't be Thunder as underdogs. The Thunder are scrappy. They have the best player in the game in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
They came in 13-6 against the spread.
Right. I looked at it and said, this is a stupid line. This is the Rockets have won a couple of games, and they're at home, and it shouldn't, the home court thing shouldn't be valued that much. And it was an ass kicking. It was not even close.
So what you did hit on was Cavs on the road at Dallas. They not only covered, they blew the Mavs out.
And I hit on randomly Oral Roberts basketball, which was a very degenerate bet last night. But
now,
I got
that's tough when you were down Oral your bed, Roberts.
Well, you didn't have to do the Oral Roberts bet.
I know. Yeah, you didn't have to do it. I know. I know. But that was really good. Yeah. I think you and I are the only ones that got that, but that was still really good. It was just a tip that somebody sent me, and I was like, okay, fine. And so I did it. I actually have a bad beat to share from last night's game, and it's part of the added frustration of the Seahawks. So I had a six-way bet builder last night. Russell Wilson over his passing yards. Curtis Samuel, who I read was going to be on a pitch count, under his receiving yards. Bing. Logan Thomas, the tight end of the Washington football team, over in his yards. It was very low because he was coming back from injury. Bing. He hits it. Under Alex Collins' rush yards. Like, easiest money ever.
Bing.
The only thing I missed, DK Metcalf, over on receiving yards. I really thought that Russ was going to try to feed him the ball because they had no chemistry. And I thought, hey, you know, the Seahawks have an entire week to plan around getting their number one option, the ball. You got to figure that they designed some plays for him.
Was it even close?
No. In fact, I thought Trey, not to bring this up again, but he was dead wrong about they were force feeding the ball. He literally didn't have a target till the end of the third quarter. So, like, no, they definitely weren't force feeding the ball. They didn't have any shots to him. There was one throw that Russ did force to him down the sideline where I went, okay, finally, one shot. The only thing about having someone like DK Metcalf, and this is one of those things I love about betting overs, and especially with props. When you bet a big ticket, big money receiver like that, is they can break it in the one play, because his total was 56 and a half yards. And I was like, there's a chance. He just needs one ball, just one Russell Wilson deep ball. And I love that, but I also hate that, because it keeps you invested in the game the entire time. And there's no like moment at halftime where you go, okay, this is just impossible. This isn't going to happen anymore. So it was a bad beat, but it was one that I had to just like swallow until the very end of the game as I'm realizing that the Seahawks is over. It was a very, very bad beat.
That's a tough one.
We got some fun NBA games though tonight.
Yeah,
our Knicks and our Nets.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Knicks and Nets is a fun one. You also
Did you say our Knicks and our Nets?
Yeah, both of them.
Who's our Nets? Who's decided that they're our Nets?
They're fun.
The interesting line to me.
That way I can't lose.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ailish playing both sides again. Here we go.
No, obviously I'm bing bong for life. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the NBA injury report site isn't working right now, so I was gonna check what's going on with the Warriors. They are 2.5-point dogs at Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun game.
I know Phoenix is good. Mm-hmm. I know when we do some luck adjustments, Phoenix comes out as maybe the fourth best team in the league so far, which is not surprising given what happened last year and given their personnel and everything, and Mikal Bridges becoming maybe the best defensive player in the NBA, at least on the wing. The Warriors are 15-4 against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty good.
They like this is so weird to me. It's as weird to me as the Patriots and Packers and Cowboys all being big against the spread winners in the NFL this year, because this is a public team. This is a casual bet team, and the Warriors getting points anywhere is, I don't know. That's there hasn't been a line big enough for them not to cover of late. Draymond Green is expected to play. I don't know. +2.5, even on the road against a very good Suns team. It's hard to bet against the Warriors right now.
I have this thing where when a team is rolling, you just keep betting them until they lose.
Yeah.
And so this is where those two things meet. And so I'm very conflicted. I'll admit that this is one where I will probably place a live bet based on what I'm seeing from the teams rather than the thing that I end up seeing in the moment. Like, this is one where I feel like I watch maybe even the first half and just look at it. I always say, you know, basketball is actually one of my favorite sports to bet live, because you can sort of just tell who's scoring more easily, who the game is coming to more easily. And so one of my favorite things to do when watching a basketball game is, especially if someone is trailing, when they're getting open looks and they're just kind of missing them in the NBA, or they're getting easy offense and the other teams are like still in the game, but they're having a tough time scoring, they're hitting tough shots, is actually saying, oh, okay, you know what, I'm going to bet this other side. So that one I don't really have a feel for. Same, this is a tough night because I wish that we could just watch those two NBA games that are not the Raptors and the Grizzlies with no Ja Morant or OG Anunoby. Like, I can't think of anything that's less sexy than Raptors, Grizzlies, no good players. I was a little surprised that the line opened up Raps -5.5, even no Ja Morant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my initial gut instinct here is, okay, I get Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, who I think are by far the two best players in this game now. No offense to Jaren Jackson Jr. But even still, just the way that the Raptors have been playing and the fact that the Grizzlies do have some depth, and this does feel like they can supplement some of that scoring with Dylan Brooks, that they can get some of the scoring in other places. Am I wrong to look at this and think 5.5 is just maybe a couple of points too many? This just kind of feels like a pick 'em to me.
Yeah, 5.5 is too much. I don't know if I'd go as far as pick 'em. I expected it to be maybe 2.5.
Yeah.
The OG thing's big, and the Ken Birch thing is big. And Gary Trent is questionable as well. And so OG's out. OG has gone the wrong direction in terms of the recovery from the hip pointer. Ken Birch is this day-to-day, it's just wear and tear thing. They're ruling him out well in advance of games now. Gary Trent Jr. Is questionable, but that doesn't sound great either. And we just saw how they looked without all of those guys, and it's not super impressive. So now, Ja Morant is obviously a huge, huge factor on the Grizzlies side. I don't know. It's like, I think the Raptors win tonight, but I don't feel good about 5.5. That this looks to me like a game that's going to be a little closer. And sorry for stuttering. I'm trying to find a John Morant stat.
You know what we should do every day?
I'm talking here.
Since we're doing betting around the 8:30 mark, is we should all pick one thing that we're going to go in on, and then we can keep track on who's being bet, like has the better bets. You know, like what's your bet tonight? Boom, boom, boom.
No, I don't want to do that because I'll lose.
Well, come on.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's
of course,
so fun.
Yeah, of course we'll keep track of our bets.
Blake liked Warriors plus 2.5.
So
yeah, I mean, I don't feel great about it, but of the lines tonight.
Okay, well, that's your thing. That's like, what you're owning on.
JD's point is a good one that you roll with the Suns, too, because the Suns have been really good, but the Warriors have been covering just about everything.
JD.
This is a night where I feel like I'll probably try to do some kind of a, let me see what a money line parlay is between these two favorites, because I think that that's a short line with Lakers-Kings. The Kings are trash, so are the Lakers, but I still think that's short. And then I like the Blazers. I think even the Blazers are on back-to-back. Am I wrong? They play last night? I think they did.
I got to double check.
Sorry. But either way, if you get Lakers and Blazers, you parlay those two on the money line, that's minus 124, which is basically what we're getting if you're even betting the Warriors on the spread right now. It's pretty close.
Blazers are on a tough back-to-back, too.
Yep.
It's coming off a West Coast trip.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, not a,
coming back.
Obviously, they're on the West Coast anyway, but
yep.
They went California, Utah,
yep.
Now back to Portland, and it's a back-to-back.
I still think in the West, at that kind of bottom tier, these are games you got to have. And this is still a Detroit team that is not very good going out to play in Portland, which is a tough place to play. And
they didn't play Dame a ton last night because they were getting blown out.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. They got blown out, and this is a spot where you get to get right against a crappy Pistons team. I don't trust the Sacramento Kings. I think that the Lakers will be able to beat them. Lakers money line, Blazers money line, minus 124 for those two favorites. I will say this, that like I don't know if I'm going to play it because I always hate betting against the Raptors because then I feel like, I don't know. I don't like even having really those rooting interest in the Toronto sports. I'll admit, I don't really bet Toronto sports often. If I do, it's usually when I'm betting the home side. But betting the other team, even when there's value, like I'm always really reluctant to say like, hey, I really think there's value here. And there's actually been a couple of times where I've been right against the Raptors and I've been keeping it to myself because it's a little too much.
Well, I said that, you know, I think it started with that Cavs game where they lost and it kind of started this stretch.
Yeah, I like the Cavs.
Yeah, and I told you guys, like, there was a stretch there of, like, I think it was four games in a row or something like that where, they lost 6 of 7 against the spread over that stretch. And that 76ers game was the only game they covered. And I was kind of riding against them because there were some like, oh, Siakam's coming back, there'll be an adjustment. And also like you overperformed over the first nine and the Raptors, like I think the it changes quickly because the Raptors always outperform their win total over under where like once they go on a run like that, there tends to be a little bit of, what's going on here? Ailish, what's yours? So I'm JD's putting down the Lakers, Blazers, money line parlay. I've got Warriors plus 2.5.
Knicks, Raptors, money line parlay.
Whoa.
That's called going with your heart and not your brain. And I am picking my bing bong and my
bing bong
and my bing bonga tonight.
That two leg parlay pays plus 360.
That's right.
By the way. So,
go big or go home, baby.
Yeah, because the Knicks are 6.5 point.
Go big or go home.
Yeah.
So, go with your heart, bing bong, bing bong.
Can I just say this, though? I actually kind of like the Knicks. I don't mind it.
That's my bet.
The Nets haven't really found it yet, and they're not very deep, and Harden hasn't been great, and the Knicks get up for this game. There's something about the New York Knicks. The one of the things about this year and the last, and they played the Nets. They could have gotten blown out by the Nets last year too. So maybe this is only like a very selective memory. But I do remember a game that they lost that was very tight last year, where the Knicks just battled. And I think that the Knicks get it. The players get it that their fans hate the Nets, that they resent the fact that Kevin Durant wanted to go there over New York, and they get up for those games. And they sort of look at it and go, hey, you're the glamour team. We're the tough team. They get to have the identity team. And I don't know. I think that the Knicks will be able to hang around in this one. I actually think that, 6.5 is a little too much.
No, I did money line plus 220.
The Kemba Walker out of the rotation thing is a bad vibes play. One other thing, and we'll talk about this in the coming days probably as like once we hit the MLB freeze. Jays have moved to plus 850 to win the World Series, which is the third. It's tied for second. Only the Dodgers have better odds.
Wow.
We're going to talk about some of that Jays stuff.
Yeah. Can I do one? Oh, I forgot that we were over here. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, open your eyes, man.
I'm gonna be looking for player props in the Raptors game tonight. I'm going to be looking specifically for Dylan Brooks, Pascal Siakam, and Fred VanVleet's points. And maybe that'll be something I tweet later, but I feel like there's probably going to be some good value there on those guys. Like, considering the amount of offense that's going to be on those three, I wonder if Brooks is going to come in at a lower number. But I wanted to ask you, Blake, quickly.
Brooks is at 19.5.
So that's pretty steep. Mm-hmm. So is there somebody else on the Grizzlies that you think is really going to pick up the slack on a lot of that offense that looks low?
So this burnt me the last time because they went away from him. I was going to say Steven Adams over 6.5 rebounds.
Oof.
He finished with 6 last time, so it burned you a little bit. He only played 20 minutes. Jaren Jackson is at 16.5, which is
points?
Yeah. But more interesting than that is he's at 24.5 points, rebounds, assists.
He doesn't rebound, though.
16-8-1, though?
I think I'd rather just play the points. I don't think he can rebound. I honestly don't. I think he's slightly tougher Chris Boucher.
16.5 is is where the points is. And last time out against the Raptors, he did only grab 2 rebounds.
I'm saying he doesn't rebound. He doesn't do it. He likes to hang out at the perimeter. And when he goes inside, he's like, ouchie.
I'll be curious to see what the Grizzlies do with their centers because they botched that last game with their second half big man rotation. Again, Jay's on the upswing. If you want more Jay's talk, stick around after the break. We're going to talk to former MLB executive and current CBS analyst David Sampson. And then 10 to 12 today, Blair and Barker are back for most of the week in that slot talking baseball stuff. All that's next. Sports at 590 The Fan.